Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Alrighty, we're going to hear a clip, and this clip is by Hugo Talks, and it's about banning the real Bible. Take it away.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. So here we have Utah primary schools ban Bible for vulgarity and violence. Well, there you go. I told you about the anti-Christian agenda. It says here, a school district in the U.S. state of Utah has removed the Bible from elementary and middle schools for containing vulgarity and violence. The move follows a complaint from a parent that the King James Bible has material unsuitable for children. See how they specifically mention the King James Bible. So what is this? Is this just for the King James Bible only? Or is it for any Bible? I'm not sure. But, well, they mention the King James Bible. Now, this is another, I believe, another staged media event in order to gauge the public's response. This is a fishing expedition to get influencers and media shows to have it as a topic and then gauge the response. And then when they look at the overall online response, they will determine if they can continue to ban it elsewhere. So let's just take a quick look at a couple of news clips.
The Davis County School District is removing the King James version of the Bible from elementary and junior high schools here. School district says around 7 to 8 schools around the district had the Bible in their libraries. They are being removed following a Utah law that prohibits schools from having pornographic or indecent material.
This decision comes after the district review committee determined that this Bible does not contain sensitive material defined by Utah law, but they say it does have, quote, elements of vulgarity or violence not suitable for younger students.
Bob Judson has a fifth grader in Davis County, so his initial reaction to hearing this news.
Do I agree with them banning Bible? No.
Meanwhile, Jonah Judson is a high schooler in Bountiful. While he doesn't agree with banning books, he says,
if they're banning all these other books, then it's really just fair to just ban the Bible too.
Davis District says around 7 to 8 elementary and junior high schools have the Bible in their libraries. They will be removed. This comes following a Utah law that prohibits schools from having pornographic or indecent material. Do you think there's inappropriate material in the Bible?
Oh, definitely. There's whole chapters about.
Yeah, so they keep mentioning the King James version. So, I mean, if that's the case, don't worry, you know, it's just the King James Bible that's banned. You know, all those new, modern, rewritten, mistranslated, misleading versions, they're not banned. Is that the idea? I mean, let's face it, if you want to bring in a Luciferian New World Order, you can't just have the most accurate history book of all time just laying willy-nilly around for people to pick up and read and therefore reveal the truth to themselves, yeah? Got to get that banned, right? Now, I know they've been banning certain books in Utah over the last 6 months, and this is, I believe, was probably all staged to get round to what they really wanted to do. And that was to ban the Bible. That's the one they want taken out. And now what you'll see is a big media circus, a big media reaction, social media circus, media influencers. They'll have debates about it and so on. And they will analyze, look over the reaction and the feedback online to see how much support or kickback there is against it. And then they will analyze it and that will determine their next move and how far they think they can go without rocking the boat too much. Now, this is no surprise, right? This is no surprise. The question is for the unbelievers out there. You know, I mean, it's up to you, you know, what you believe. I'm not here to twist your arm. But for the unbelievers, the ones in the comments, who I'm surprised are still around, seeing that they say they don't believe. But for the unbelievers, right, the question is, why do you think they are doing this now? Why are you seeing news stories talking about banning the Bible? Why right now? Why not like 5 years ago? Why not 10 years ago? Why not 20 years ago? Do you think it's a coincidence that this is happening at this particular time? A time where they want to bring in a new world order. We have talk of banning the Bible in a world where the occultists of the United Nations, the Lucis Trust, the Lucifer Publishing, talk about how we are entering the age of Aquarius, how this is a new dawn for civilization, so they say. Do you really think it's a coinkydink that they are banning the Bible right now? Some people say in the comments things like, the powers that be are following the script of the Bible, and that the powers that be wrote it themselves. Now, this argument, in my opinion, is very weak. It would only make sense if the Bible was incredibly popular. Yeah? It would only make sense if everybody followed the Bible inside out. I mean, most people don't know anything about the Bible. They'll know who is in Love Island, but the Bible, no. Now, I mean, I don't know if you've taken a look around you recently, but talking about Jesus and the Bible is actually very uncommon. The world has never been more secular. And there's a reason for this. I mean, in general, people have been brainwashed to think it is all nonsense. The brainwashing has been successful because it has been done relentlessly by an interconnected international networked media, by governments, by scientists, and the entertainment industry. What you call the powers that be have spent 99% of the last 5, 6, 7 decades influencing and programming the masses to turn away from the Bible, to turn away from God, to turn away from Jesus. They want to ban the Bible now, and especially the New Testament, as you can see here. So it doesn't make any sense. I mean, what year is it? You ask someone, what year is it? And they say, well, it's 2023. It's 2023 AD. What's the AD stand for? AD stands for Anno Domini, Latin for in the year of the Lord. It's used to refer to the years after the birth of Jesus. That means it's 2023 years after the birth of Jesus, right? So they reset the years on account of the birth of Jesus. That's what we are told anyway. So something significant must have happened around that time. What do you reckon? So, yeah, you have all of these things happening. And, you know, do you unbelievers really think it's a coincidence that we are seeing stories now about the banning of a Bible? And this just so happens to correspond with a time right now also where occultists at the United Nations, the Lucis Trust, say we are moving into the age of Aquarius at this moment now, in this decade, where they want a new world order, a new golden age, they say. They want a new power released, a new manifestation of that evolutionary tide of events, they say. Which is a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world currency. They state they believe the age of Aquarius is about going from the Pisces age into the Aquarian age. Pisces the fish is associated with Jesus. The Pisces is a symbol of Christ. Therefore, according to them, the coming of the new age will signify the end of Christianity as well. And they want to bring a new system and a new world order for this. And that is all of the crap that we are seeing going on at this time now. All of the things that everybody's complaining about. You know, the sudden arrival in the last few years of the CBDC digital currencies in every country, all at the same time, incoming with programmable money, dictating what you can and cannot buy, digital enslavement, the universal basic income, inflation, price rises, cost of living crisis, smart meters, jib-jabs, lockdowns, the World Health Organization Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, 5G towers everywhere, systems being put in place to track and trace you everywhere you go, digital IDs, biometric IDs, facial recognition, transhumanism, artificial intelligence being introduced, a counterfeit, which is a counterfeit intelligence, organized religions, talking of forming a one world religion, an interfaith agreement being signed. Yeah, it's all about unifying, mixing everything together, blending it all into one. Farmers being told to stop farming genetically modified everything, children being conditioned to eat bugs, transgender agenda, pronouns, mixing genders, again, trying to blend everything into one, climate change commandments being announced, designer babies, DNA editing, yeah? And, oh, yeah, let's remove Father from the Lord's Prayer. Oh, let's ban the Bible. And you think it's all a coincidence? Seriously? How is that new golden age, that new world order, looking to you? The age of Aquarius that supposedly leaves Jesus behind. It won't happen. It won't be successful, but that's what they are trying to do. Your whole legal framework, your moral and ethical outlook stems from the Ten Commandments. You've been brought up with this, yeah? Marriage, the whole family unit comes from God. The family is the foundational institution of society ordained by God. Marriage, Adam and Eve, the first marriage was based on a covenant promise. Yeah, what you consider to be right and wrong, it all stems from this. Our understanding of what is a vice and what is a virtue. Yeah, is it any wonder that everything is now being turned upside down? And now they are banning Bibles. And you think it might be a coincidence? You don't think this is relevant? You see these comments and it's like, ah, stop talking about the Bible. That is exactly what they want you to do. That is exactly what they want to leave behind. And all those things mentioned earlier is what they want to bring in. And they're still going to end up losing. I'll end with this one. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your time, and I'll see you later.
All righty, we are back, and very, very good. What he said is true, folks, and again, you'll notice that, by the way, you notice that they understood, the enemy understands that the King James Bible is the Bible. And here, there's an article here. Well, by the way, you know, it's an interesting thing. Let me just say this. Some years ago, a few years back, I was asked to come to Michigan, to Detroit, to speak to a group of pro-lifers there. And it was the occasion was that the city had taken, by eminent domain, had taken some property because they were going to build a stadium, and on the property was an abortion mill, a very, very large abortion mill. And they were going to have, they set up a out in front, like a little pavilion, to speak. And as we went down there, Pastor John McTernan, Pastor Luke Owens and myself, the three of us went, and they asked me to speak. But when we got there, they were moving out, those who were moving out of the abortion mill, and the doors were open, and we went into it, and there was these tables, a line of tables, like the ones we have in the church, you know, they're about 4 feet wide and about 8 feet long. And one after the other, had to be at least 10 tables, one after the other. And at these tables, these are witches. These women that worked in this bloody abortion mill were all witches. They were a part of a witch covenant. And they had on the table, they had the different herbs and spices. They had the candles, the different colored candles, the yellow, the orange, and the ones especially for satanic rituals were the black ones, the red ones, and the white ones. But anyhow, and every station it was the same. You would have the candles, you would have these herbs, and guess what else they would have? They would have lesbian pornography. They would have lesbian pornography, little books of, and then one other thing that every station had, believe it or not, they had an NIV Bible. And they were all open to the same passage in the NIV where they had talked about the Queen of Heaven. Now, they change, and of course the NIV, it's a perversion of the Bible. One of the selling points of the NIV was how its light is not one of big old heavy Bible. It's lightweight. Well, when you take out 65,000 words out of the Bible, it's going to be a lot lighter, and that's why it's so small. Okay, but that's an amazing thing. Why all of these witches would have the NIV Bible there? So, and we've been telling you for years, God didn't give us 100 different versions. He gave us one. The King James Bible is by far superior to all of the perversions. So you need to know that. Now, after saying that, I'm going to actually surprise you by opening up the phone lines early tonight. The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673 nationwide. Again, 888-677-9673. And so if you have a question or a comment, give us a call in. And last night, I'm sorry we had to hang up on a lot of the whole the whole board was still lit, and we ran out of time. So, and people don't understand out there. They think that we could just stay until we take their calls. No, it's run by computers, and they shut us off, okay? And no matter what I want to say, they shut us off. So, lines are open. Give us a call. Now, before we take the first call, revealed. Merrick Garland and Jack Smith used linguistic tricks to indict President Trump on junk document charges. No kidding, huh? Yeah, I think we kind of knew that, didn't we? In some of those words, there's pictures of Comey, Bragg, Smith, and Mueller. These are, you talk about corruption. I mean, you talk about real corruption. You know, a higher class crook wouldn't even have anything to do with these guys. They are so corrupt. On Saturday, the conservative treehouse disclosed how Merrick Garland and Jack Smith used the linguistic trick to indict President Trump on a junk documents charge. It is well known that Merrick Garland is a serial liar. By the way, this is from the Gateway Pundit, and has committed perjury in front of the U.S. Congress without consequences. I watched him do it. I watched him sit there and lie. I watched him sit there and lie to the Congress. Jack Smith, the far-left partisan who Garland appointed as special counsel, has a disturbingly lawless career. Smith has had one case overturned by the Supreme Court for lying and withholding evidence. Smith was an instrumental player in the IRS conservative targeting scandal before the 2012 election. And like many other federal jobs, the more Jack Smith lied and cheated, the further he advanced. That's just the way it works out there today, folks. Okay, so let's go take Brian. Brian, you're in the air. Hello, Brian. Are you there? Are you there? Is he there? Okay, Brian from Garland, are you there? I heard something, but okay, well, I know. Well, who would have ever thought Cliff is the called in? Hey, Cliff.
Yeah, how you doing? Do I have a question on James? But on LifeSiteNews.com, there's an interview or discussion with Jack Maxey, who you know about, who retrieved another 3 gigahertz of deleted information on the Biden laptop. So you could listen to that. But one of the key points is that he sat down with the Washington Post going back 2 years with all information that showed how widespread the corruption was. It's not just Biden. And the Washington Post did nothing. They just squashed the story. So that's an example of the media.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
Yeah, two other items. One is from the David Knight Show podcast on May 30th, about an hour in, there's about a five-minute discussion on a type of blindness where There's an occlusion of the retinal artery. This can lead to blindness. And they said that there was a large study that 200 times the incidence in people that took the shot of this occurring. And they gave an example of a construction worker in Australia in his 20s that got this, is now blind, had a very big construction business. He's suing, and the two people that two eye experts testified, eye doctors, saying that this was caused by the Moderna shot. One other thing, too, there's an interview with David Knight with James Robosky on the latest promulgations of the World Health Organization. And there were two things in that interview I would cite that were interesting. One is they're saying that they want social listening. How about that? Social listening. And another point is they'll strengthen the science. So you can see they're still going with this buzzword of science. Follow the science. Strengthen the science. In the meantime, that Cleveland Clinic actually did a study of 60,000 people that took the shot, and they found that it makes... They were trying to show how it worked, and it was the opposite. It made it much worse, much more likely you get the COVID, and you get it much worse. But my question is, on James Chapter 5, I got this audio thing from Bill Creasy from like 20 years ago. It sounds like that's when it was published, basically, and he's doing a commentary on James, and he said that prayer is effective based on that verse citing Elijah's effective prayer. And he said, well, this shows that prayer is effective, but I don't quite make that link reading that. I would say that does model the idea of big prayers and how one person's prayer can have an effect. But when they use Elijah as an example, and, you know, if we are righteous like Elijah, I mean, as a reader of that, that's a stretch to say the common person has that type of righteousness to get that type of effective prayer. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, he's telling you there, when you start in verse 7, when you talk about Elijah,
yeah.
When you get to verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. We do that on a regular basis at our church here. Here, sometimes, you know, there's affliction in a believer's life just to get people to pray, okay? And a lot of times, see, a lot of people assume sometimes, they may assume that, and it used to be this way, especially in biblical days, that if you were sick and inflicted really bad, it was because you were a sinner. No, that's not always the case. Look at Job. Job definitely was not a sinner, was he? He was a very righteous man, but sometimes God tests us. He tests us and to end up making our courage, but often it's not about just us. It's about those around us. And so here, when he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waiteth for precious fruit of the earth and hath patience for it until he receive the early and the later rains. Be you patient also, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. See, it tells you all of that, what you're saying right here. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, a judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. Oh, Elijah had that. Remember, Jezebel had a contract out on him. And he was a wanted man, a hunted man. And in those days, you know, he didn't, he did a lot of camping out. He did actually have, he wasn't staying at the Ritz here. It was tough with him. And so that's what he's referring to here.
Well, that, you know, it's interesting that that contradicts chapter, I believe it's 4 of James a little bit, where it says, you know, where the Lord may not even let you live, so don't say I'm going to go to the city and do this or that. Say if God wants, I'll live and do this or that. But if you bring up the early and latter rains, then you're trusting that the prayer will have length in terms of a time frame, that the prayer will get you going for a period of time that would include like a season at least.
All right, very good. I got to move on, so let's go to Maria out in Chicago. Hey, Maria.
Evening.
How are you? You're in the air.
Oh, hey, sorry. Hey, I just had a question. I was listening in. So with everything that's going on, it kind of seems like it's unstoppable. I was just speaking yesterday that I feel like I want to move out of America because of everything that's going on.
Well, is that what the Bible tells you to do, or does the Bible tell you to stand your ground? The Bible gives you three main missions. You ready for the three main missions?
Yes.
Mission one. What is the first mission? It's called the Great Commission, and you find that in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. We are to do what? We are to go out and preach and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching the Bible, preaching the Bible. Second one, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. In other words, everywhere you go, you saw that the saints, they always resist to tyranny, and they obey God and not the government. And then...
Mm-hmm.
The last one was, you find in 2 Thessalonians 2, we are to stand fast, hold our ground, we are to adhere to the traditions of the apostles, and we are not to back down. We are to not stand down. So hold our ground and adhere to the traditions of the apostles. So those are the three. So you got to stand and fight, woman.
No running, huh?
No running.
Do you have a church that you attend?
Yeah, I'm Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and this is why if you were here, you'd be standing and fighting. That's what we do at Doers of the Word Baptist Church.
And where is your church located?
It's at 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. 14781 Sperry. Are you in Chicago?
Yes, I am.
It's kind of a long drive for you.
It's a super long drive.
Well, that settles it. You got to move. Yeah.
No, I am looking to move. So, well, thank you for taking my call. I didn't have much that I wanted to say. I just wanted to get your opinion on it, but that was very helpful.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. God bless. Okay, we have AC. Boy, he's calling right close to the break time. And boy,
hello, hey, Pastor.
Hey, AC.
I want to bring up something very important. And you touched on this about people that are talking about the post-tribulation rapture, mid-tribulation rapture. And Jesus clearly taught a pre-tribulation rapture. And he not only taught a pre-tribulation rapture, but he taught against both those views, these other views that you mentioned. There is a parable in the very end of Matthew 24, a parable of two servants, actually two servant pastors. And in this parable, you have a wise servant whom his Lord had made ruler over his household, and only a pastor can be a ruler over a household of faith. And then you have an evil servant. They both worship the same Lord. They're both looking for the Lord to come. Now, this is what's real interesting about Jesus and about the evil servant.
Okay, hold it right there, because this is where we want to pick it up. We're up against a hard break, but Hang right there, and we'll pick it up right there. We'll be right back.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, in the hand of Jesus, He touched me, and now this blessed Savior, and since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while it turns.
He touched me, too, and that was Brian Parks. Sounds a lot like Elvis, but that was Brian. You've heard Brian in a number of songs with SD and myself. The three of us made a number of songs together. All right, we're back to AC. AC, pick her up where you left her off.
Okay, Matthew 24, verse 48. Jesus said, "But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming." Now, before I go on here, what are the post-tribbers, the mid-tribbers saying? The post-tribbers, as an example, are saying that Jesus is going to delay his coming until after the start of the tribulation period. So are the mid-tribbers. They're saying Jesus is going to delay his coming until after the start of the tribulation period. Now look what else Jesus says here in verse 49. "And shall begin to smite his fellow servants." And there have been some people. I think we know who we're talking about here, but there's a number of people. And they're calling you and me a false prophet for believing in a pre-tribulation rapture. And these are people that claim to be Christian, and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're saved, but they're calling us false prophets. What are they doing? They're smiting us. Now, what are the consequences of this? Jesus goes on. He says, the Lord of that servant, the same Lord as of the wise and faithful servant, shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. There's the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, look at the consequences. And shall cut him asunder. Asunder is an old English word that has two definitions. And the definition that applies here, it could either mean apart or apart from. So the Lord of that servant is going to cut him apart from the fellow servants that he smited. And it says, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, let me tell you what weeping and gnashing of teeth, where it will be in the tribulation period, and I'll tell you why. No one weeps in a burning hell. No one.
All right. You know what, AC? The whole board is lit, and so a lot of those folks I lost last night. So hang in there, because I'm going to let you give the invitation tonight. So you just stay there.
Okay.
And we're going to go to Brian. Brian drops. So he's back. Brian, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Pastor Ernie, you there, sir?
Yeah, I sure am. Yep, I'm here.
Okay, good. Thank you for taking my call. Man, I love your show. It's always that we don't have enough shows like yours, but no one can be like you guys. You guys are just right on. Okay, real quick, and I'll hang up and let you talk about this one, because I want you to talk about this. Hopefully, Joe out of Fort Worth. He's out of Fort Worth, right, Joe? Is that correct?
Now, which Joe are you talking about? Joe Joe Larson?
The one that's on your show. The one that's on your show with you.
Oh, evening. Yeah, Pastor Larson. That's Joe Larson. No, he's out of Missouri. And
I thought he was out of the Texas region with me.
No, that's John McTernan. That's John McTernan, who's out there by where you're at.
Okay. I'm sure he's listening to that. But real quick, I want to get your perspective on this. Why isn't that any of our elected officials, any of them across the United States, are not trying to put God back in the schools, or, prayer in schools, prayer for lunch? And I'm going to hang up real quick, Pastor, because I know your time's valued, and I love your show, and you're there every day, which is even more awesome for you to get up and just do this program. I mean, you're a godsend, but I want you to touch on that. Why isn't anybody talking about putting God back into anything anymore? I'll hang up and let you talk about it. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, very good. Thanks, Brian. Let me just comment on that. The Bible tells you to come out from amongst them, be you separate from them. A fish rots from the head down. The public school systems have become rotten. When God was expelled, now you can take that. The responsibility for that goes right at the feet of the pastors. It's right at the feet of the pastors. It was the pastor's obligation to make sure that didn't happen, and they failed. They failed God. They failed the country, and so it's not up to the politicians. It's up to the pastors to take it to the politicians and tell them, this saith the Lord God. And when they've gotten out of the public schools, we have to be separate, our churches, from the state. The state is corrupted. I mean, it's become so corrupted. And that, again, too, that is the fault of the pastors. They did not have the courage to do what they should have when the time came. And so, but there are, again, God has kept a remnant out there, and they are fighting. But what we're doing is we're opening Christian schools. We're getting away from the state. We're opening Christian schools and saying, now you just leave us alone. And we encourage people that they cared about their kids at all, if they care about their children at all, to pull them out of the homosexual drag queen school system. And that's what they've become. The public schools have become homosexual drag queen and hotbeds of cultural Marxism. But we encourage homeschooling is the best, I believe the best, because no one cares so much about the children as the parents. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. But then Christian schools, and I've been supporting homeschooling in Christian schools for years, and that's the answer. So we got to go out to New York now. And Joe, you're in New York.
CIA, communists invade America. CIA, communists invade America. Manic depression. Bye-bye, Joe Biden. No Kamala Harris. No way, no how. No communist. No socialist. Bye-bye, Joe Biden. So long, Kamala, too. And thank you for your work, Pastor. I appreciate it.
All right, Joe. Thanks for calling. Let's go back to Texas with... And we have Mary out in Texas. Hey, Mary.
Hi, Pastor. You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Sure.
Okay. Let me try to crunch this all in. Let's go to Daniel, the third chapter. Here's the picture.
I know.
Nebuchadnezzar, right? When the flute was paid, he wanted everybody to bow down.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
They all didn't bow down except for them three Hebrew boys.
Daniel didn't bow down.
I mean, the three Hebrew boys didn't bow down.
Right, they didn't. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Boys, let me get the picture out. Mm-hmm. Church, Nebuchadnezzar is an antichrist. Okay? The Lord gave him 1 year to repent. And he didn't, right? I wish God, with this Congress and our wicked government, would do what they did to Nebuchadnezzar, make him a beast, because he gave him a heart of a beast. And that's what our government now, they have a heart of a beast, and make them out of animals to teach them a lesson.
I think they're already there. Listen, anybody who is so thirsty to kill little babies by abortion.
Yes.
Anyone like you saw Joe Biden out there today with those trans queers? Those trans queers there.
I didn't catch that, sir. This is why other countries have no respect for the United States no more, because we have a vile and a foul idiot for a president.
Joe Biden says those trans queers are the bravest people he knows. Not our military, not our soldiers to go out and fight, not those 13 that got killed because of him in Afghanistan, but Joe Biden said that the trans queers were the bravest people. So you had them running around. They had artificial breasts put on, and they run around topless, shaking their standing right next to that really sleazy Joe Biden out there doing that. That is so corrupt. What an example it is for what debauchery, how he has debased the White House with that, flying the sodomite flag. Right up there. In other words, Joe Obama is shaking that rebellious fist in the face of a holy God. And boy, I'm going to tell you, Joe, you better repent or you're going to burn forever. All right, I got to move on there. Mary, let's go to Steve in Cleveland. You're in the air, Steve.
Hey, Pastor. Got some good calls. Everybody seems to understand what's going on, but there's a lot of people out there that haven't got a clue that socialism is just seeping into the cracks of our country. But they said today, Bannon had everybody set up, all his reporters and everybody out there, Ben Burkholm, his daughter, and Natalie Winters, she's 22 years old. She came out of Chicago there and California graduating. This girl is smarter than 50 women journalists together. I don't know if you could ever get her on there, but I just wanted to know what you thought of today, because I heard they were saying pretty much on CNN, one thing, MSNBC, the other, you know, most stupid nuts broadcasting and Chinese nightly news. But when you get to Fox and you see Brett Baer, you were definitely right on about him. They were saying how they were seething and just making fun of, just laughing at Trump when he was walking in there. And isn't there part in the Bible or something like that? But what did you think of today? I mean, just basically what happened today. To me, it's just this is the first page of our country changing. Because this man is just standing as strong as anybody I've ever seen in my life, in my lifetime.
I know that, and first of all, here's my analogy. My opinion is this, okay? One thing, you can indict, a hot dog if you want, okay? But here's the thing. He's got to can't remember, these people are corrupt. They're known. It's more and more, Jack Smith, Merrick Garland said in Congress and lied and lied and lied and lied, and people know that. People know that they are paranoid, they're scared to death, because they know if Trump gets back in, these people are communists, they've betrayed America, they've committed high treason against America. And what they've done, going against parents, you've seen Merrick Garland, Chris Wray, turning the FBI like Gestapo on parents who are upset about pornography being put in their textbooks. So parents have said enough is enough. They're standing up. They're starting to fight, push back. But they've got to support Trump. Now, Trump, you look at it this here, Biden's wife, she was upset, she says, because even though she expected when the indictment come that he would lose support, instead it's going the other way. And she, remember, these people can't understand this. They're given over to a reprobate mind. But Biden is as corrupt gets. And he will take away, like I read before, every one of your rights. Let me just read you this, for example, real quickly here. It's an article here from by S.D. Wells. He says, according to Biden regime, Americans who do not salute the sodomite flag and celebrate Juneteenth are mega extremists, Russia loving, gay bashing white supremacists. And it just goes on to tell you how here he's got even the military is forced under Biden to celebrate gender confusion, sodomite pride month. He's completely and totally corrupted. Totally. There's nothing about the Democratic Party today that has not been completely and totally corrupted. We have to fight it with everything we have, both locally and nationally. And that's what we're doing here. We're battling both. So,
well, for sure.
You got to run to this battle. But I got to move on, so.
God bless you, sir. Thank you for being
you
here.
You too. Okay. How much time do I have? Okay. All right. You know what? We better go to AC, you've got 5 minutes to give an invitation.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I bring the listeners before you in the name of Jesus. And God, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. And God, I pray that to all those that are listening to this program tonight or who will listen to it later, that you would bring to mind what Jesus taught concerning the pre-tribulation rapture. Noah preached a pre-flood gospel with one way of escape, one voyage out, and Jesus commissioned us to preach a pre-tribulation gospel with one way of escape, one flight out. And we're very soon coming to that time when that flight will take place. Help the listeners to understand that Jesus clearly taught a pre-tribulation rapture, that we have to have salvation through the blood, and that we have to be accounted worthy to escape the tribulation, and that Jesus taught that there will be consequences for missing the rapture. The rapture will begin the tribulation period. The tribulation period will begin immediately after the rapture takes place, and those left behind will face weeping and gnashing of teeth. What a terrible time. The graves of the saved will be opened. The graves of the damned will be left untouched. God, please help the listeners to understand how essential it is to know your word, to use the King James Version Bible, which is your word. And God, help people to realize that even if they die before the rapture, they have to die in Christ. There's no other way to escape the spiritual death that will occur after someone passes from this life. God, help people to understand that the hour is late, the day is far spent, and we are on borrowed time. God, help people to understand that this world is quickly coming to an end. Things can't last the way they've been going. Help the listeners to understand that we are in the last days, and that what Jesus taught in the Olivet Discourse and at other places in the Gospels are warnings to us about the end times. And Jesus, what he prophesied will take place. God, help people to understand that the prophecies of Jesus are real, and they're soon about to take place. And God, I ask for you to move on people to repent of their sins, to become born again, because without being born again, no man will enter the kingdom of heaven. In fact, no man will even see the kingdom of heaven without being born again. And God, I ask this in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Thank you. And all those people we mentioned tonight, Merrick Garland and Jack Smith and Joe Biden and Chris Ray and Jim Comey, all of these people that we mentioned, Lord, we ask that you would bring them to repentance. We bring them to repentance unless they burn. We know, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that they either will repent or perish. And as horrible, horrible hell as we don't want to see anyone go there, as wicked and evil as they are. So that's our prayer, that you would bring these wicked people to repentance, lest they should burn. And so, folks out there, just remember, here's what the Lord Jesus said. He did it for you. He took your place, a substitutionary death, so you wouldn't have to. But what you have to do is, he tells you, pray to the Father. Ask the Father to forgive you of your sins, and then ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. This is what you need to do. And if you do that, they'll honor it. And then you will become a new believer, and you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we are out of time for tonight. So as we get to this point, as we do every night at this time, we always go ahead and say, well, good night. And God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.